Thank you, David. It's good to be here. I'd like to welcome you all in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I'm thankful for this opportunity to stand before you today and pray that the Lord might bless him with his thoughts. I'd like to welcome all of you and any of the visitors that are here that you might enjoy our time with the Lord today. People live streaming and welcome to the Church of Christ. I'd like to read from Matthew in the 24th chapter, verses 4 and 5. And Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. Again, in Matthew 7 and 13, it says, enter ye at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. You know, these words here start off a tract that we have and says, does it make a difference which church you belong? And it's reminding us and to focus in on the fact, you know, that what the Lord has told us here, don't let anybody deceive you. Many will come saying, I am Christ, and they'll deceive many. We have to study, we have to know, we have to educate ourselves. In verse 7, he says, enter into that straight gate, which we know is baptism, for wide is the gate, broad is the way that leadeth destruction. And there will be many that go thereat, some other way. Because straight is the gate, narrow the way. And you know, and they will say, Lord, Lord, shall we, excuse me, I lost my place. At any rate, he tells them he never knows them because they didn't do the things that he told them to do that's written in the scriptures. And you know, we find that reference from chapter 7 is the end of the Sermon on the Mount. We have all those things that he taught. And we need to do them and follow his example. And so, you know, we have to be aware that there's false prophets out there. There's people teaching a different doctrine than what's taught in the scriptures. I've titled my sermon today, A Trifle Not. And I'm going to give you, let's read what trifle. Treat someone or something without seriousness or respect. You know, this is a quote from King Benjamin. I'm going to read a lot in King Benjamin today, but he's telling him to trifle not. He's got important things to tell him, and we need to take him seriously. And we're going to be doing that, some words today of King Benjamin, in fact. And he's giving us the words of life for each one of us. For those of us that have been baptized and for those of us that have not been baptized yet. For those of us that might be in other churches watching on live streaming and everything. And so we're going to discuss some of these things. We're going to talk... I just want to say that for those that are new and haven't been here before, We believe that the Bible is the Word of God. We also believe that the Book of Mormon is the Word of God, and we use both of them as the Word of God. And in them we have the fullness of the gospel. There are others that teach something else, that the only Word of the Lord happens to be in the Bible. And it's the complete Word of God. And many churches believe that today. But we don't believe that the Bible teaches that. You know, I quoted something from one of their websites, and it said, "We believe the Holy Bible, 39 books of the Old Testament and 27 books of the New Testament, is the only inspired, unfailing, complete Word of God." And then they use for a reference for that Peter 1, verse 21, that says, "For the prophecy come not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God speak as they were moved by the Holy Ghost." We believe this also. We believe the Lord still speaks to us. We believe that angels speak to us by the power of the Holy Ghost. And we believe that the Bible teaches us that there's another record and other records. In Acts 10, verse 34, "Then Peter opened his mouth and said, 'Of a truth I perceive that God is no respecter of persons, but in every nation he that feareth him and worketh righteousness, it shall is accepted by him.'" And of course, in Ezekiel 37, we find that there's two books. Well, it was a book for Judah or a stick for Joseph. In John 10, 14 through 16, Christ is talking about being a good shepherd. And he said, "I am the good," starting in verse 14, "I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and have known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold," or the fold of Jerusalem, "they also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd." Hopefully we all know those. But, you know, here the Lord himself is saying, you know, that there are other sheep, and they're going to hear his voice, and there should be one fold and one shepherd. He'll be Lord over all of them. Book of Isaiah 29 talks about a book that is sealed. A book was going to come forth, and it was going to do a marvelous work and a wonder. A marvelous work, extraordinary, a wonder, a blessing, extremely good, pleasing, splendid, something out of the normal. Something was going to happen. And it was going to be a very little while, and Lebanon would be turned into a fruitful field. Shall be esteemed as a forest. Here we're talking here about this record that was going to come forth, a book. Same book that's talked about in Ezekiel, the Book of Mormon. And so the Bible shows us that there's going to be other records and gives us an example of these books that are going to be written. And that book is going to be written, and it says in Isaiah 29:18, that "in that day shall the deaf hear the words of the book, and the eyes of the blind shall see out of it obscurity and out of darkness. The meek shall increase their joy in the Lord. The poor among men shall rejoice in the Holy One of Israel. They also, the errant spirit shall come." I skipped down a couple of verses to 24. "They also that erred in spirit shall come to understanding, and they that murmured shall learn doctrine." So we have this book that's coming forth, and we're going to learn doctrine from it. And yet there's those that don't want to believe that the Lord speaks to us today, that he spoke in other places besides Jerusalem, and that they heard his voice and he taught them. But we're thankful that we have these records. Isaiah 8:20 says, "To the law and the testimony, if they speak not according to these things, there's no light in them." We have two witnesses of Jesus Christ that confirms it and condemns us for the knowledge that we have. You know, we have a need to know what it says in the scriptures. We have a need to study them to make ourselves approved. We have a need to pray about them and to ask God daily for direction in our life and for wisdom and knowledge of the things that are written in scriptures and the prophecies, that we might be able to endure to the end, that we might have that hope of eternal life. Now, this Book of Mormon, for those of you that might not know, is a record that, like the Bible, written by some of the other sheep, in the case of this descendants of Joseph, that Joseph that was sold into Egypt, by holy men of angels that we were taught by the Holy Spirit through angels. Takes place by beginning of it in 600 B.C., a man by the name of Lehi was told to leave, and he was going to destroy Jerusalem. We know from a fact that, you know, that happened. So I want to read about one of these prophets of old, and I'm going to read about King Benjamin. It's in the Book of Mosiah, and it takes place about 124 years before Christ. And we find written in the books, we find that King Benjamin is experiencing and talking about it, but a little bit of history is Lehi was told to leave Jerusalem with his family and pick up everything. And they eventually came here to this continent. But before they were supposed to go, they were instructed to go back, or his son was instructed to go back and get the records of their genealogy and of the prophets. So they had the prophets that are written of in the scriptures, knew their genealogy, that they were from Joseph, and probably knew through into the time of Jeremiah. And so they had that and studied those things, and they had a hope of the prophecies of Christ and all of those that are taught about in those scriptures that were preserved for them on brass plates. What a marvelous work and a wonder when that came forth, that book, that we would have those things before us today. So Mosiah starts, and I'm on Mosiah 1, page 208. "And now there was no more contention in all the land of Zarahemla among all the people which belonged to King Benjamin, so that King Benjamin had continually peace for the remainder of his days." Now, King Benjamin was a righteous king. He was their spiritual leader, and he was their king. But he didn't tax them. He worked out in the fields just like they did, and they were richly blessed. And it goes on in verse 2, "And it came to pass that he had three sons, and he called their names Mosiah and Helorim. And he calls that they should be taught in the language of their fathers, that thereby they may become men of understanding, and that they might know concerning the prophecies which they have spoken of by the mouth of the Father." So they spoke in the language, they've been taught to speak in the language of their fathers, and they understood then the things that were written on those brass plates. And they looked forward to their coming of Christ. And on verse 4, it says, "And he taught them concerning their records which were engraven on the plates of brass, saying, My sons, I would that you should remember that if it were not for these things which contain these records and these commandments, we must have suffered in ignorance, even at the present time, not knowing the mysteries of God." God's got a plan. And we have to take his plan seriously. Going on in King Benjamin, verse 14. He was waxing old, and he thought, I better read it. "And it came to pass that after King Benjamin had made an end of teaching his sons, that he waxed old, and he saw that he must very soon go the way to all the earth. Therefore, he thought it expedient that he should confer his kingdom upon one of his sons. And therefore he had Mosiah brought before him, and these are the words which he spake unto them, saying, My son, I would that you should make a proclamation throughout all this land, among all this people, all the people of Zarahemla, and the people of Mosiah, which dwell in this land, that thereby they may be gathered together. For on the morrow I shall proclaim unto this my people, out of my own mouth, that thou art a king and ruler over this people, which the Lord our God hath given." So, they did that, and they gathered the people, and there was a tower built. He stood up on the tower, all the people and their families, and was thousands of them, their kids, and had pitched their tents, and they were listening, and they wrote some of it down and brought it out to him so they have the word, and here he is standing before him. And he says in verse 39, "And I have not commanded you to come up hither to trifle with the words which I shall speak, but that you should hearken unto me and open up your ears that you may hear, and your hearts that you may understand, and your minds that the mysteries of God might be unfolded unto you. Now trifle not. Take these things seriously. Hearken unto the things that the Lord has for us. Open up our ears and hear, and our hearts that we may understand." We have a need when we come to meetings like this to come with an open mind, that you want to hear the word of God, that there's something that is given by the minister for you to take home with you today, and to consider it and pray about it and read about it and put it in our life. Trifle not. And so he goes on in verse 70. "And now, my brother, and I would that you should do as ye have hereto done, as you have kept my commandments and also commandments of my father and have prospered, have been kept." "Have been kept from the falling into the hands of enemies. Even so, if ye shall keep the commandments of my son and the commandments of God," which, they were a righteous people, and the Lord blessed them and prospered them. And so, he's telling them that continue, he's asking his son to continue to be a righteous leader and to keep the commandments of God, which will be delivered unto you by him. "You shall prosper in the land, and your enemies shall have no power over you." And it's the same for us. For now, if we keep the commandments of God on this land, this choice land above all other lands, the Lord will preserve us as long as we serve the God of the land, who is Jesus Christ, in any way that we can. It goes on and says, but O my people, beware lest there shall arise contentions among you, and ye list to obey the evil spirit which was spoken of by my father Mosiah. For there is a woe pronounced upon him who listeth to obey that spirit. If he listeth to obey him and remaineth and dieth in his sins, the same drinketh damnation to his own soul. So he's telling us to keep the commandments and to be careful, to be watchful. You know, it's talked about, you know, that in Matthew, that, you know, there was going to be false prophets. Make sure we don't get caught up in the things that other people do just because they're doing them. He's warning them, and he's warning of those that do, you know, go on those pernicious paths, for he receiveth his wages and everlasting punishment, having transgressed the law of God contrary to his own knowledge. I say unto you that there is not one among you, except it be your little children, that has not been taught concerning these things, but what knoweth that you are eternally indebted to your heavenly Father. You know, we have that now. Most of us here know these things. And we're internally indebted to our Heavenly Father. And we've been taught. And so he goes on. He says, to render to him all that you have and are, and also have been taught concerning the records which contain the prophecies that have been spoken by the holy prophets, even down to the time of our Father left Jerusalem, and also all that had been spoken of by our fathers until now. So we're to render, we're to give back, we're to serve him with all that we have and are, everything in our life that we're concerned with, and also have been taught in our scriptures. Verse 79, it says, and now I say unto you, my beloved brethren, that after you have known and have been taught of these things, if you should transgress or go contrary to that which hath been spoken, that you do withdraw yourselves from the Spirit of the Lord, that it may have no place in you to guide you in wisdom paths, that you may be blessed, prospered, and preserved. And so that, you know, he's giving this warning or this woe, and he says, you know, if after we've been taught these things, if we go a different way, you know, we're going to lose the Spirit of the Lord directing us, and that's why we must continue to repent. You know, we of course have a need to repent and be baptized, you know, and endure to the end, and I'll say that later, but that's a continual daily thing, you know, to take time to commune with God and ask him to forgive us of our sins and give us the strength to overcome them and not do them anymore. He's given us these words in the scriptures. And, you know, and the things that are written in both the Bible and the Book of Mormon to remind us of these things, that we don't get caught up in the false teachings or false doctrines or the things of Babylon, and the crud that's taught out in the world today, but that we have a desire to separate ourselves from all that and not partake of it. That he'd bless us with wisdom, that we would have an understanding of what an evil spirit feels like, and that we'd flee from it, abhor it, that we'd diligently seek him in our life, constantly, because we constantly have to remind ourselves of the need to humble ourselves and to be meek and lowly of heart. Next, we read that King Benjamin told them that an angel of the Lord had told him about Jesus Christ. And he was coming on earth. He was going to be born of a virgin. They would end up crucifying him, and he'd be resurrected. And so, you know, that was a future event, of course. They were told that, you know, Jesus Christ created all things, both in heaven and in earth, and that salvation came through him. And we had a need to repent. Mosiah 1 again in verse 108. But woe, woe unto him who knoweth that he rebelleth against God. Did I read that? No. And I thought I already read that. I might have it on here twice. But I'm going to jump down to page 218, verse 119. We all know this scripture, but I love it. And for the natural man is an enemy of God. Naturally, we're an enemy, our carnal state. And has been from the fall of Adam and will be forever and ever. But if we yield to the enticings of the Holy Spirit and put off that natural man and becometh a saint through atonement of the Lord of Christ the Lord, and become as a child, submissive, meek, humble, patient, full of love, and willing to submit to all the things which the Lord seeth fit to inflict upon, even as a file doth submit to his father. So, verse 20, you know, we have a need to yield. That takes a physical and a spiritual thought to be put upon us to yield to the enticings of the Holy Spirit. Changing ourselves from our carnal state, become a saint through the atonement of Christ the Lord, and becometh as a child, submissive, meek, humble, patient, full of love. So, you know, we consider this. We could spend some time in looking at ourselves in reflection. Have I becometh as a child? Am I submissive to the Lord's instructions to me as I would to my father or mother? Am I meek? Am I humble? Am I patient? Do I wait on the Lord to direct me in my life? Do I have a love for the Lord and for myself and for others? Am I willing to submit to all the things which the Lord seeth fit to inflict upon? You know, it takes some thought. It takes some preparation. It takes some prayer time and fasting time. It takes some study time to understand. These things aren't just going to happen. Naturally, it don't happen. We have to yield. He went on in here, King Benjamin did, and he went on to say, it spoken the words which the Lord hath commanded, and all will be judged, and we will all be judged by our works. You know, it says that in Revelations in the 12. You know, everybody in the whole earth is going to stand before God, and the books are going to be opened, and we're going to be judged out of the things that are written in the books. And this is our time to prepare for that. This is our time to yield to the enticings of the Holy Spirit. This is our time to daily to repent of our sins and ask the Lord to bless us with wisdom to stay away from those things, those evil things that seemingly sound good and that may even be legal in this country, unfortunately, but that we yield to the enticings of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to turn now to Mosiah 2, verse 9 on page 220. I say unto you that if you have come to the knowledge of the goodness of God and his matchless power and his wisdom and his patience and his longsuffering towards the children of men, and also the atonement which had been prepared from the foundation of the world, that by salvation might come to him that should put his trust in the Lord, and should be diligent in keeping the commandments, and continue in faith even unto the end of his life, I mean the end of his mortal life. You know, here we should be diligent in keeping the commandments of God all our life. You know, endure to the end, it says. You know, others teach it. All you got to do is believe. All you got to do is take Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and you're gonna, you know, you're gonna be saved. And I hear people say that all the time. But the scriptures teach us that we have a need to change and to repent and endure the end. Serving him, studying the scriptures, repenting of our sins, allowing the Holy Spirit to touch us and change us. Verse 11, and I say that this is the man that receiveth salvation through the atonement which was prepared from the foundation of the world for all mankind, which ever were, ever since the fall of Adam, or which are, or which ever shall be, even unto the end of the world. And this is the means why there is salvation cometh, and there is none other salvation, so save this which shall have been spoken of. Neither are there any conditions where man can be saved, except the conditions which I have told you. And he goes on in this beautiful reading that we all read and enjoy. These simple statements. Believe in God. Believe that he is, and that he created all things, both in heaven and on earth. Think about that. You know, we read that and we can trifle that, I guess, and not take it seriously. But, you know, here's a prophet of old telling us. He's giving instructions to his kingdom, and he's telling him to believe in God, believe that he is, and he created everything in the earth. You know, there is nothing that the Lord can't do. I guess he can do on things, but he won't, and that's change. But he doesn't. Believe that he hath all wisdom, all power, both in heaven and in earth. You know, we see the times that we're in, and we have a wonder, and you know, we have a hope of Zion, and we don't have any idea how that's going to come forth, except that, you know, what they're reading in the scriptures. But he has all the wisdom of the whole earth. Isaiah 55, 8 through 9 says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. We can't imagine, and we don't need to. We need to believe that he has all wisdom and all power. Next verse, it says, believe that man does not comprehend all the things which the Lord can comprehend. You know, we just got to let the Lord take charge of our life. You know, he's in charge. He knows we're headed or not headed. He knows where we need to be, you know, and we have to then yield to the enticings of the Holy Spirit, as it says. In the next verse, it says, and again, believe that you must repent of your sins and forsake them and humble yourselves before God and ask in sincerity of heart that he would forgive you. You know, it tells us we need to repent of our sins. And that's not just to say, gee, I'm sorry, Lord, but really to, well, I think it explains it the best in 2 Corinthians, 10th verse. 2 Corinthians 7th chapter, 10th verse. And godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world worketh death. For behold, the self-same that ye sorrowed after a godly sort, what carefulness it wrought in you. You know, this repentance is something that we have to be very careful with and serious with. Yea, what clearing of yourselves. Yea, what indignation. Yea, what fear. What, you know, abhorring our own sin. Yea, what vehement desire. Yea, what zeal. Yea, what revenge. In all things ye have approved yourself to be clear of this manner. A complete, sincere repentance. And asking for strength that you not do it. Verse 7 thing says, and now if you believe all these things, see that you do them. I hope I've reminded ourselves of some things today that we might take home. In summary, I'd say, you know, it makes a difference what church you go to. It makes a difference to what they teach. It makes a difference for our soul's salvation. You know, that seventh verse, chapter 7 there of Matthew that I read, you know, not everybody that said, Lord, Lord, will enter into the kingdom of God. You know, it says, you know, I didn't even know you. That's what he tells them. And so we have to be very careful and be purposeful about knowing what church to belong to and what is right and what is false teachings according to the scriptures. In the Bible teaches us there's two records. Not just the Bible, but all things will be confirmed in a mouth or two or three witnesses. And we can look at Isaiah 8:20 or Ezekiel 39 or Isaiah 29 or John 10:16 about the sheep or John 21:25. Next, God speaks us to us today in dreams and visions. You know, and he talks to the ministry and to our people by the Holy Ghost through angels. And I'm so thankful for that he still speaks to us. You know, I can't believe that anybody would believe any other way, that he's a respecter of person and only talk to those in Galilee and Jerusalem. And of course, we know he reveals things to us in dreams and visions. Next, he's not a respecter of people. And lastly, a need to repent and be baptized and endure and keep the commandments of God. The study of the scriptures. I'm going to read something out of the Book of Mormon. I'm going to turn to page 162 in 2 Nephi. And starting in the 19th verse, happens to be one of my favorite scriptures. And I heard a voice from the Father saying, yea, the words of my beloved brethren are true and faithful. He that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. And now, my beloved brethren, I know by this, and unless a man should endure the end in following the example of the Son of the living God, he cannot be saved. Wherefore, do the things which I have told you that I have seen that your Lord and your Redeemer should do. And for this cause have they been shown unto me, that you might know the gate by which you should enter. That's that straight and narrow gate that I spoke of in that one of those first references in the Bible. And it explains, and the gate by which you should enter is repentance and baptism by water, and then cometh a remission of your sins by fire and by the Holy Ghost. And then are you in that straight and narrow path which leads to eternal life? You have entered in by the gate. You have done according to the commandments of the Father and the Son. And you have received the Holy Ghost. That Holy Spirit that's given to us in baptism through the laying on of hands, that abides within us, we have to allow it to direct us in our life. We have to have patience. We have to have time. We have to consider in our quiet time and allow the Holy Spirit to speak to us and direct us. That's a promise of God. And you have received the Holy Ghost, which witnesses of the Father and the Son, unto the fulfilling of the promise which he hath made, that if you enter in by the way, you should receive. And now, my beloved brethren, after that you have gotten into the straight and narrow patch, I would ask if all is done. And saying, no, behold, I say unto you, nay, for you have not come in this far, save it were by the word of Christ, with unshaken faith in him, relying wholly upon the merits of of him who is mighty. You know, now he's talking to those people there. He's talking to us right now. No, it's not all. Yes, we have to repent and be baptized and endure, but you know, there's more. We have to continue with unshaken faith, relying upon the merits of him who is mighty to save, Jesus Christ. Wherefore, you must press forward with a steadfastness in Christ, having a perfect brightness of hope and of love of God and all men. Do we consider that? A perfect brightness of hope, a confident expectation of what is in store, that God has planned, that place he's prepared for us in heaven, and a love of God and all men. You know, we got to let that Holy Spirit work among us, and that we have that hope and that love one for another, because carnally we don't have that. Wherefore, we shall press forward, feasting upon the word, and endure to the end. And behold, thus saith the Father, you shall have eternal life. And that's that purpose. That's this day of probation, the day that we're preparing ourselves to be judged according to the things that are written in the records. It goes, wherefore, if you shall press forward with feasting upon the words of Christ and endure the home, behold, thus saith the Father, you shall have eternal life. And now, behold, my beloved brethren, this is the way, and there's none other way nor name given under heaven whereby a man can be saved in the kingdom of God. And now, behold, this is the doctrine of Christ and the only and true doctrine of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, which is one God without end. Amen. Thankful for these things that have been preserved for us, both in the Book of Mormon and the Bible, that we would have his word before us, that we would be able to choose, that we would recognize that he is not a respecter of persons, that he speaks to us today. There's people that don't believe that. I don't know how they can think they're called into something, but, you know, if they don't believe that they can, the Lord speaks to us. But we have this knowledge And therefore, we have more of a responsibility to humble ourselves and to prepare ourselves to witness to others and those around us, that they might have that same hope that we have. Thank you.